This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to episode 9 of the Norton and Hales Cricket Club podcast. I am joined by a very special gentleman, one of the newest tractor boys on the block, new signing, Mr. Jordan Ralph. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit stuck because normally I give these podcasts a bit of a cheesy name. And as we're doing this now, I generally, and on art, haven't got a cheesy name. So I reckon by the end of it, I will have a bit of a name for it. I'm kind of thinking of an army reference, but I kind of don't want to be cheesy for that sole reason, really. But again, welcome to episode 9. This is part 1 of episode 9 under the new format, so we do it in 4 15-minute chunks and cascade that over the week. So, as I mentioned, Jordan's just recently signed for Norton and Hales following his recent transfer from Birkenhead Park, and will also on the second game of the season make a return to other local club Stafford, of which we first met Jordan last year, where he kind of took great pleasure at stroking quite a few of our bowlers around the park, which was quite interesting to watch and kind of part of the reason why he sits in front of me as a Norton and Hales cricketer. So Jordan, so tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you, where you're from, what do you do?
So I'm 28, I'm originally from Blackpool, but then because of my current job we've moved up to Stafford, so I'm in the army, and I have been for 9 years now, and situated in Stafford for hopefully the next sort of 5 to 6 years really.
Brilliant, okay. Well, it's nice to actually tell. Before we started doing the podcast, Jordan told me where he's actually from, and he told me 3 times and I still haven't got a clue where it is, so hopefully he'll explain that on the podcast a little bit later in time. So, we're focusing around cricket, and one of the biggest things that I found interesting before I even contacted you to come and play for us was how much cricket you played in and around the sort of the army setup. How would you find the setup between the Army Cricket Association and club cricket? What's the sort of main difference between the two?
So I'd say the biggest difference between Army cricket and Saturday cricket is the intensity during the weekdays, because we'll play some very good sides, some academy sides that can have first teamers coming back from injury and things like that. So we've played some really good players along the way. A recent one was we played Kent at their academy ground, and there were 7 of their team were then in the next List A game. So that was interesting. That was 350 chasing and we got about 100. Yeah. So it was interesting. So the intensity in terms of like the banter and things like that on the field, it's non-existent when you play these pro teams, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you play the inter services, that's when that gets hyped up. And
yeah,
the standard between the inter services games and Saturday cricket is pretty much similar.
Yeah,
yeah. Minus having your professional. Really, it's more or less the same.
So you mentioned obviously the rivalry between obviously inter services. So am I right in saying that the Army, of which you represent, Navy, RAF.
Yeah.
Is there any more? Is it just those?
Almost
like a tri-nation.
So in the Navy though, you've got the Royal Marines as well. So they come under the same. But they do play for the Navy.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So in terms of you spoke about that sort of rivalry there. How fierce is that? Because obviously there's always like a big thing about if you ever say to like someone from the Army that the RAF are tougher than the Navy, and football, something like that.
So it's pretty fierce.
Yeah.
Between the Navy, whilst I've been playing cricket within the forces, have got a lot better than they were when I first started, and they are of a good standard now. But it's always really been the Army and the RAF that are the two big players within it.
Yeah.
And that is pretty intense.
Okay, this is where I get a gauge of how well you're willing to sit on the fence or not. Who's the best?
The Army is the best.
The Army is the best, okay. It's really got much to say that.
No.
Especially because we'll discuss somebody else that we know in a moment, a mutual person that we know, Roscoe. He's a unit, so I ain't arguing with him. In terms of, there's somebody else I know from that setup. I had a bit of time away playing over in Norfolk, and an old lad called Ashley Watson.
Yeah,
he's
a very good player.
Very good player. He's a good left-arm spinner, yeah. Slaps it hard. His actual brother's a very good cricketer as well. But yeah, we won't discuss the fact that he's got a slightly dodgy action when he throws his arm ball down. But we'll discuss that at it. But yeah, top class bloke, top class cricketer. So in terms of that sort of Army setup then, what's elements of that intensity do you feel clubs could transfer into their thing? Because obviously you're not going to have a lot of time for practice, so you've obviously all got a lot of, you know, very important work to do, and obviously when you meet up there must be coming up from all different parts, playing against all different types of people from different parts of the country.
So we get when I first started playing, we'd have like a training camp sort of pre-season, and that'd be very fitness orientated and very, very dynamic, mm-hmm. strength and conditioning really. But we still maybe have one or two days before the start of the season, and then it'll be sort of turn up the morning of the game, maybe the night before, but that'd just be to sleep the night before and then go into it on the morning of the game. So I think the fact that we're well coached, so we, when we turn up at the ground, we'll turn up 2 hours before. You'll have half an hour just to sort of sort your stuff out, have a brew, chill out, speak to your friends, and then you know that the second half hour is like your personal preparation then. So if you want to have some throwdowns, put a cone out and take some catches or do some bowling, that's your half an hour then.
Yeah.
And then of half an hour team practice.
Yeah.
So that's when we go through the drills, catching drills, and that's various stuff, and then the toss, and then it's half an hour then to either get ahead on batting or take a few catches and just make sure you're well hydrated, ready to go out into the field.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So how many coaches would you have in around that setup? How, when you, what sort of backroom staff have you got on a match
day? You've always got one head coach,
yeah.
And then he's probably got a couple of coaches as well who have played. Like the head coach who's just retired was Stu Howard.
Yeah.
Who he's played Army cricket for all his career, and he's just got out of the Army now after 24 years.
Yeah.
So he knows the setup very well. Yeah. And then the two coaches who've just come through, they've always been around Army cricket as well. He's probably have three coaches and a physio sometimes, or most of the time he'd have a physio.
Yeah, cool. It's good, like, other than the time, I suppose, there, it's kind of good similarities and lots to take that could be taken into club cricket, I suppose.
Yeah.
I mean, most people can't guarantee that people are there 2 hours before, but
yeah.
I think a good hour and a half, maybe an hour, and probably condense some of that stuff into 10, 15, 20 minutes is kind of a good way to go, really. It's definitely something at the club we've really worked on. We've got enough coaches in the field to set up now to try and drive that home. And I think, obviously, I've discussed over the last few weeks, that's one of the main things that we would sort of like yourself to sort of try and drive and push, really, or demand from the guys in and around the club. So that's good. It's good to hear. What would be your best moment from playing Army cricket then? What's your highlight?
So our inter-services is split over two formats, which is 2020 and 50 overs.
Yeah.
And our 2020 competition is held at Lords.
Yeah.
So I've played at Lords twice now, representing the Army. Last year we got beat, which wasn't great, but then 2 years ago we won. So that was comfortably. And against the Navy, myself and a bloke called James Hudson put on 100 and I think it was 6 partnership for the first wicket. And beat the Navy by 9 wickets because I tried to clip one to the longer boundary and got caught.
Bit of really arrogant to say,
well,
question is, were you trying to flick it up the hill or down?
Up the hill.
Trying
to do it properly. We play literally on like the wicket end, so the short boundary is literally 40 metres. It's not a long at all, so you've got to try and hit proper boundaries.
They're trying to, of course. Okay, cool. So from that then, I mean, just staying on that Army cricket trend, obviously we mentioned Roscoe, who we played against this year. He's just dropped down from League 2 to go to his dad's original club, Enders, which we've got a fierce rivalry. We just beat them to promotion 2 years ago on our sort of rise to prominence, and that rivalry goes forward, you know, a lot of friendships and move forward really. What in terms of camaraderie and things like that, because obviously am I right in saying Ross is in a different part of the Army than yourself?
Yeah,
how does that camaraderie sort of stay away from the teams?
So the unit that we've got within in terms of the Army team is very strong and quite unique compared to, that's probably one thing as well, compared to club cricket is it's just the fact that, well, we finish the training and then like we obviously like to train hard but then also play hard as well. So if it means like playing a game, winning a game, and then if we've got the day off the next day, go and make the most of that. So having a good social aspect to the team as well is massive in terms of the Army cricket. So, it's been put away a bit over recent years and the cricket's come back to the forefront, and rightly so, but there still is that social aspect to the Army cricket, which is good. We also play, so there's 10 corps that make up the Army.
Yeah.
Without going into too much detail, the different jobs and things like that are done within the Army.
Yeah.
And we have a corps competition as well. So that's like probably second, third tier sort of cricket standard.
Yeah.
And it's basically anybody that plays for different corps can come, and it's called the Power Cup, and we play against different corps.
Yeah.
So that's where you get picked from to go and play for the Army.
Yeah.
But we play against the engineers for the signals and that. And there's always a big rivalry, but it's a healthy rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing malicious in it. It's all friendly banter and it's just good fun, really.
I suppose a sense of what cricket is, really. It's a bit of white line fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
We always have a common theme on these podcasts talking about how cricket's a great social engineer in itself, and the fact that it's, you know, it's a release in terms of, you know, we go to work, you've got to be nice every day, you've got to follow the rules, blah blah blah, but that white line fever is a release.
Yeah.
But equally at the same time, you can then take that rivalry off the field and turn it into great friendships and different things like that. And I think it's a lot of life skills built into that as well. So when I first started talking to you, you mentioned something about you played something combined services.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying, I'm going to make a guess here because I know nothing about it, I'm going to say that is almost a bit like the Lions team. So you take the best from the RAF, Navy, Army, Creator.
So that's what it is. So they take from the three services and then form a combined services side who they don't really play that many fixtures anymore. They play four or five fixtures a season.
Yeah.
But then it's played on some pretty spectacular grounds. Like we played at Edgbaston. We play against the Duke of Norfolk's team, which is at Arundel Castle.
Yeah.
Which is good. And then we play against the Hampshire sort of second 11 at the Aegeus Bowl as well.
Get to play some decent.
So we get to play at some decent grounds, and that again is a good, very good standard.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So across the season, then roughly how many games a season would that sort of take up? And
so for the call for the signals, we'll probably play maybe 7 or 8 fixtures, and then the Army in terms of T20 will probably be maybe 6 or 7 leading into the competition itself at Lords. So you're probably playing 9, and then the 50 over stuff is probably 6 or 7 again leading into the inner services, which is over 3 days.
Keeps you quite busy and
yeah.
all that sort of stuff. So what's your, because predominantly you're a batsman, what's your sort of, what's your highest score playing in the Army cricket?
So I had about 100 for the combined services under 25s when I first came through, which sort of got me noticed for the combined services. And I've had a few 50s playing for the Army, and then we played in the semi-final of the Power Cup for the Signals last year, and I got 100 against the infantry that got us into the final.
Yeah.
So it was quite good.
Yeah, good. Did you get a chance to bowl a little bit? You bowled against us at Stafford last
year?
Yeah,
that's something. So I don't bowl in the army side. Mm-hmm. I bowl for the core side, mm-hmm. and it's something that I'm definitely working on a lot more than I used to do.
Yeah.
And it's something that I quite enjoy, to be honest.
Okay, so we're going to leave a little bit of a note here before we end part one here. If we were to like fire a shot at Jack facing captain, where do you want to field? Because I'll be honest with you, we've got a much younger side this year, and we could do with some decent pair of legs and a decent pair of hands out in the outfield. Where's the best place to field Jordan Ralph? Where are we positioning you?
Somewhere busy.
Yeah.
I'm not one that wants to hide away from the ball. I want the ball as much as I can and get involved in the action.
Well, I seem to remember you fielded it mid-on when we were at Stafford, and I nailed two wide mid-on, and you fucking just kept diving on it, which I'll never forgive you for. Okay, cool. So that's it for part one. Please tune in tomorrow for part two, where we move on talking about league cricket and sort of the structures of it, where league cricket's at, and what Jordan Fields needs to help clubs improve moving forward. Speak to you tomorrow.
This is the Norton & Hales Cricket Club Podcast.